So here I am in the Jersey tunnels. So these were built by prisoners of war, slave laborers in the Second World War. And the Wehrmacht had them built so they would defend the islands in case the Allies attempted to liberate the islands. But then there was no fighting, so that's what it was looked like when they were building it. Anyway, so they've restored it quite well. Now it looks slightly shabby to reflect it was not built for comfort. But despite me having to duck there, mostly the ceilings are very high. So the Channel Islands, here they are, see, in the English Channel, only 10 miles from the continent. The strategic value of the islands is obvious as naval bases, as air bases, to forestall the idea of the Allies coming back to the continent. But actually, initially, the Germans thought that the United Kingdom would soon surrender. Even if not, there'd be the Battle of Britain, that would defeat the Royal Air Force, then Fall Seelöwe could go ahead, which was the German invasion of the United Kingdom. And this was going to be a crucial springboard towards getting across. Okay, so from June 1941, the Germans conquered bits of the Soviet Union, took large numbers of Soviet prisoners of war. They were brought into labor. Now, the Spanish Civil War had ended in 1939, and many people, Spanish Republicans, had fled to France, been interned by the French, and they were still there when France surrendered in 1940. And there were millions of French prisoners of war in Germany, millions. So the deal was done with the Vichy, the collaborationist government of France and Germany, that some of these French POWs were released, were sent back to France. But in return, some of these Spanish Republicans internees were handed over to Germany and used as slave laborers, including here, working in really bad conditions. They were fed starvation rations, often died from overwork. At least 77 of them died. Bear in mind, these were fairly healthy young men when they came here. So what else? There's a book about it called The Model Occupation. But apart from that, it was an idyllic place for the Germans to be stationed, and they viewed it almost like a holiday camp because it was good weather, there were plenty of young women, all the Jersey men of military age had been withdrawn back to the United Kingdom at the beginning of the war, because Jersey is not part of the UK. Food was plentiful initially, and it was a very popular holiday destination. The weather was very good, there was no danger, and not a single German soldier was killed here during those 5 years. So whereas they could be suffering the most horrendous conditions on the Eastern Front. Jersey was a fairly wealthy place anyway. So yeah, that was all going quite well. The islanders were obviously initially anxious. There was some trepidation. Now the Germans tried to keep the islanders happy, but they said you've got to change the time to Central European time. You've got to drive on the right. Nevertheless, they didn't incorporate into France, which some people in France have been hoping for. And the garrisoning was very high. There was one German soldier every four civilians, which is the highest ratio anywhere in occupied Europe. And it shows the importance that the Germans laid on controlling the islands. In fact, it was really overkill because it had been very, very difficult for the Allies to take the islands back. We know that seaborne landings are very tricky, very fraught operations, and the Allies are very chary about trying D-Day. Could easily have failed. The Saint-Nazaire raid failed, the Dieppe raid failed. What else? But things were going quite well, and some of the local women were attracted to these handsome, athletic young German soldiers. And of course, there were no young men from around. Even some married women started flirting with them. But from 1944 onwards, when the Allies launched their Normandy landings, 6th of June, and began the liberation of France, Jersey was cut off from the hinterland where a lot of the comestibles had come from. So there was severe food shortages, and this paucity of food brought people close to starvation. I don't think anyone actually died of starvation. Even women who were very moral found that they might have to have an affair with a German soldier, even married women occasionally, because it was the only way to survive. And that was it. So it's very, very difficult for them. There's this cartoonish image of Germans as absolutely villainous, which is just racist. Obviously, they're good and evil people of all nationalities. I know that National Socialism is very wicked, but, you know, good people serve bad causes. So some of them will be mannerly, will be humane, will have common decency, will be charismatic. So they could be nice people. It's preposterous to imagine that all the Allies were good people. Anyway, so some of the slave laborers, often serving prisoners of war, still wearing what rags they had of uniforms. Organisation Tod was for the exploitation of slave labor. Dr. Fritz Tod, that's him, he died in the plane crash in 1942, succeeded by Hitler's architect, Albert Speer, who was really a genius. Had Speer been in charge of military production since the beginning, he probably would have won. Speer managed to increase production in 1942, in 1943, and again in 1944, despite the Allied bombing getting heavier and heavier, Germany being cut off more and more resources. Obviously, it fell in 1945 because by then, I mean, even before May, Germany just lost so much territory. Okay, so here we see some of the boiler rooms. Okay, this is what it was like. And so if the Allies tried to fight for the islands, what happened? In fact, there was no fight for the island. After the surrender of France, the British forces withdrew without a fight. Okay, and this is one of the escape stairs, very, very steep. And indeed, at the end of the war, so the Allies had taken Normandy and the rest of France eventually. It was decided not the Allies wouldn't bother with the town lines, they'd just bypass it. It was too heavily defended, there was no need to take it. At the end of the war, the Germans weren't even aware the war had finished, some of them, so they had to get the message and people had to come and take surrender. So, you know, 8th of May was the German surrender in Western European time. It was already about 1 in the morning on the 9th of May, Moscow time, which is my former Soviet country's celebrator on the 9th of May. And the Channel Islands surrendered, the German force in the Channel Islands surrendered sometime later. Okay? So for German soldiers, very courteously request people to help with their washing. Would you ingratiate yourself with them? Their motorbikes with a sidecar. They confiscated all automobiles. Horse-drawn transport was very, very fine. So they had a lot of free time. They didn't do that much of the building themselves. Supervised it somewhat. Hired some Jersey craftsmen to do things, going around by bicycle. Some French women were brought in to provide for the sexual needs of the soldiers, and they could be very manly when they suited them. The order not even to pick flowers, for fear people think that was stealing or vandalism. Okay, so the orders issued in English. But remember, in those days, a lot of people spoke French, or at least the Jersey dialect is their principal language. And the police on Jersey cooperated with them, driving around, even giving the straight arm Heil Hitler salute to German officers. And the bailiff of Jersey, staying here to administer the government, doing his best he could to intercede with the Germans for clemency. So these German youths, so no wonder the women of Jersey found them desirable. Okay, Jewish people had to make themselves known. I don't know if anyone deported their deaths. Some Jersey people who helped Soviet prisoners of war escape and sheltered them were eventually apprehended, sent to death camps. The Gestapo had an office here. They encouraged local people to inform on their neighbours if they felt anybody was involved in resistance. And some people did write in anonymously. Some of the postal sorters would intercept these letters, steal them open, and they had to send them on with delay, a chance to tip off whoever they said a radio is hidden under the floorboards in Jersey Girls College. So tip off Jersey Girls College to get rid of it. So some people, civilians, were evacuated, including children. But, you know, the majority of the population was still here. Some people then went to steal the valuables of their neighbours' houses because these weren't there for 5 years. They had no idea the occupation would ever end. Germany could easily have won the war. We didn't know they didn't, but, you know, up until 1944, it seemed quite likely that Germany would win. Some people risked their lives to sail to France in 1944 after its liberation. Some people died in the attempt. When they reached France, they were often suspected of being German agents. It's absolutely fascinating. Okay, they weren't allowed to fly the British colours in Jersey at that time, or indeed to sing God Save the King. But nobody was punished, as far as I know, for collaboration here after the war. So that's a bit about the Jersey tunnels. You see how interactive it is. It's ill-lit, but that's good because it lends it authenticity. That's what it would have been like. So we want to give you that 1940s experience. Now they've got air conditioning, so here. Okay, so that's the Jersey tunnels. Warmly recommended for a 1940s experience. Tell about the anxiety about it. And if you're a person here and a Soviet prisoner of war had escaped and he was pleading with you to shelter him because he experienced such cruelty, such suffering, would you risk your life to do so? Would you be willing to go to a concentration camp where you quite possibly die I wouldn't have that courage. You ask yourself some very uncomfortable questions. How brave would you risk your life for a perfect stranger? Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan790.com. Goodbye.